can link up Vibe Time 514-817-3941. That's how we do it, nice and short.
You don't know, Ego. Whatever you do this weekend, go out and enjoy yourself. A week after week when I come here, I got one tune to play for all the ladies, yeah. Because I don't believe in Jah Almighty. Before I get out of here, I got to play this tune.
But the blind will never see all deep in my...
You know, so afterwards, right here, right? I'm going to leave you with this tune, right? Because you know what? Every night I go to bed, I'm there. Morning I rise, I pray, give thanks and praise. I walk on the street, I give thanks and praise. So we have God in our heart, so we have to keep uplifting ourselves. You see it? I'm gonna leave it like this. To all my friends in the city, music vibes, positive vibes next week. Going to some reggae vibes. Roger Moore, you're done, Nadine, right here.
Every night before I lay my head down to rest. Take a moment and I think how much I'm blessed.
Tell us to get familiar with this girl. See how many of you.
I'm at peace, big smile on my face. As I give you thanks and praise for another day. If only you could have taken me through. I owe it all to you. I know it's only you.
There is this thing. Do you realize?
Consciousness is affected.
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize?
Our consciousness is affected.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live.
Listening to the Prison Radio Show, a part of CKUT's Off the Hour. Prison Radio has been on the air for more than 10 years. Prison Radio seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggle by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging our ideas about what are prisons and the people inside our jails. Prison Radio is dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. This is in the interest of forging stronger ties with incarcerated and non-incarcerated people, ensuring that prisoners have direct control over their representation, and that our understanding of prisons be informed by those who live inside their walls. We invite anyone who is interested in collaborating on programming to contact us. Those who have been affected by the prison system in any way are encouraged to get involved. You can email news@cqt.ca or prison@cqt.ca, or you can call us at 514-448-4041, extension 6788. You're listening to CQUT, Montreal Community Campus Radio, located on 90.3 FM on the dial, and www.cqut.ca online.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Prison Radio Show. My name is Candace.
And my name is Noah.
And we're your hosts for today's show. Today is the Prison Radio Show's Prisoner Justice Day special. We'll be airing audio from the PJD Punk Show that took place in Montreal on Sunday, August 7th. We will also be airing a sneak peek of an interview we did with Diana Block yesterday. Diana Block has been a radical activist since the 1970s. She was a founding member of San Francisco Women Against Rape, Prairie Fire Organizing Committee, the California Coalition for Women Prisoners, and the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoners. We talked to her about many things, but we'll excerpt the part of the conversation that was specifically about Prisoner Justice Day for today's show. But first, a few news items. According to itsgoingdown.org, as of August 9th, Siddiqui Abdullah Hassan of the Free Ohio Movement has been transferred to the hole and denied access to communication and property. His supporters are asking people to call the Ohio State Penitentiary immediately and daily until they release him. The number for OSP is 330-743-0700. Again, that's 330-743-0700. Ask to speak to the warden and demand that Hassan be allowed back into his regular cell and regain access to his property. The person they connect you to may pretend they only know Hassan by the name Carlos Sanders, even though his name was legally changed to Siddiqui Abdullah Hassan decades ago. His prison number, for your reference, is R130559. Hassan is one of the few public spokespeople for the national protest that will start on September 9th of this year. For more information, you can check out itsgoingdown.org.
According to a Globe and Mail article published on August 3rd, the families of two women who died in Nova Institution in Nova Scotia are suing Correctional Services Canada. The lawsuits have been filed in the Nova Scotia Supreme Court. Veronica Park and Camille Strickland Murphy both died in Nova Institution in 2014. According to the article, both suits make claims of false imprisonment, negligence, and violations of Charter of Rights sections guaranteeing equal protection, security of the person, and protection from cruel and unusual punishment. They also state that the CSC's decision to withhold information was an act of bad faith warranting damages.
United States President Obama commuted the sentences of 214 people on Wednesday, August 3rd, the largest number of commutations a U.S. president has granted in a single day since at least 1900. The year 1900. 67 of the folks released were serving life sentences at the time.
The Office of the Correctional Investigator released a report entitled In the Dark, An Investigation of Death in Custody, Information Sharing, and Disclosure Practices in Federal Corrections, on August 2nd. The investigation found that families often face a difficult and protracted process to access information following the death of a family member in federal custody. The report points out that the Correctional Investigator had raised these issues with CSC in its 2012-2013 annual report and their morality review process released in December of 2013. Since then, nothing has changed. You can read the entire report on the website for the Correctional Investigator at www.oci-bec.gc.ca.
In less than 1 month, prisoners across the U.S. are set to go on strike. Outside supporters are being encouraged to organize info nights, benefit events, and solidarity actions for the day of the strike. New posters and web graphics are appearing on itsgoingdown.org, and folks are encouraged to put up posters and use the web graphics on social media platforms.
Michael Kimball, a Black anarchist prisoner whose recordings we've played on the show, has been placed in solitary confinement as of August 8th, 2016. In a letter to supporters, Kimball said, "I'm assuming that I'm being held for being involved in a rebellion that popped off on August 1st, 2016. Initially, there was a fight between prisoners, but it escalated into a rebellion against the guards when they tried to intervene after being told numerous times that things were under control. The guards didn't listen and were chased out of C Dorm, which has become a space of self-governance and resistance against prison officials." The time is presently 5:09, and you are listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca. Up next, we have audio from the Prisoner Justice Day punk show that happened this past Sunday, August 7th, in Montreal. In this first clip, an organizer from the Termite Collective speaks about the history of PJD and the context of resistance in prison.
I just got a statistic last Thursday when I went inside, and somebody said that So far to date, 65 prisoners have died inside federal institutions alone this year. The average is about 50 a year in federal penitentiaries. What has been logged by others is about 200 prisoners a year in other places of confinement, penal confinement, which I didn't do the calculation, but that's a lot a week. And of course, there are people on the outside who are suffering the consequences of being incarcerated that we don't get numbers for and we don't know. Although Prison Justice Day pretty much started 40 years ago, almost to the day, in Kingston, Millhaven Penitentiary, the fight against prisons started with the inception of prisons. And it did when they started using imprisonment as a form of punishment to replace torture and execution, people were dying. And they started having little tribunals, and they had juries to determine the cause of death, common folk. And they would say, whoa, okay, this is willful negligence, this is lack of care, this is homicide. And of course, they didn't like it that much, and they would quash those verdicts. And there were huge demonstrations, so the resistance wasn't only from folks who understand the prison system for what it is and tied to all kinds of racialized institutions of oppression, but also folks who got a glimmer of what goes on inside, who had no idea. So in a way, it really is necessary to talk about what goes on inside as much as we can. Prison Justice Day is an occasion we can do that, because those who survive and don't die inside still live through those conditions that make it so horrendous for others to live in there. What else did I want to say? One of the things that's talked about a lot is the lack of accountability and more thorough inquiries and get people to do their job and then things will be okay. Well, that's not true, right? Because their jobs is to keep prisoners alive. And they've got things like suicide watches where it's basically a segregation cell with nothing in it. Almost worse than segregation, because you have no personal effects because they think you're going to kill yourself with whatever you've got around you. And people coming in to check you out every 15 minutes. So that's the way they respond on being thorough and accountable to keep people inside. So it's very important for me, anyway, not to talk about the conditions of prison only in the respect of death and preventing death inside, but making sure people live outside of prisons and so that we can abolish prisons. I don't think we could talk about it any other way. I also wanted to talk about a little bit of the context, maybe a couple of things, but the context of Prison Justice Day specifically. Eddie Nalin, when he was there in 1974 in Millhaven, he was among prisoners who were transferred from Kingston. And Kingston was the penitentiary, our oldest penitentiary here, 1835, which was asked to be dismantled, by the way, by all kinds of folks. About 10 years later, a call for abolition, by the way. And there was Kingston riots, so they took everybody who they thought were organizing in Kingston and brought them all to Millhaven that wasn't built, hadn't been finished. And as the story goes, what I've been told by folks inside who maybe were not in at the time, but did time with folks who had been there, was there were, the prisoners were coming into Millhaven and there were two lines of guards and they were just beating them as they were walking into Millhaven. That's that context. The other thing is that folks in Millhaven had organized with folks outside, and that was important for people on the outside to know what was going on inside, because had that not happened, Prison Justice Day would have been a lot more difficult for it to have been recognized. So that community building, that bridging, and that constant communication with folks on the inside is really imperative. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, when you talk about deaths inside, people say, well, of course, they're all a bunch of crazy people inside and killing each other and that kind of thing. And even in their own statistics, Correctional Services Canada owns statistics, the government's own statistics claim that less than 15% are intentional interpersonal killings. So that leaves like 85% for other causes, or over 85% for other causes. Most of them they claim and they put down as suicide. Most of those are not willful self-killing, but a demand to be hurt, to do some damaging to yourself so somebody is listening to you. Hey, where's that fucking phone call? Where's that phone you promised me? What do you mean my visit? Fuck you. And dying in those circumstances. The other one is they call natural causes, and they won't talk about that much. They'll say natural causes. Well, the natural causes are things of dying from cancer, tuberculosis, not getting any kind of medical attention, having an autopsy that exposes a liver that's this big, and nobody has ever diagnosed anything, not being able to get any kind of medical care. And people living their lives till the till their end of days inside prison because they need to be protected from society. So those are the natural causes that we hear about. And if we look at folks who die in the custody of cops, we're talking about dangerousness, over 85% is homicide or accidental. They cause the death. So when we think about, I know I don't have to convince y'all. Like, I know this is a crowd I don't need to convince. But anyway, just some things that maybe you could spread around because these things are kind of important. Anyway, have a good show. That's it for me.
That was a member of the Termite Collective speaking at the Prisoner Justice Day punk show that took place on Sunday, August 7th in Montreal. Up next, we will be playing an entire set by one of the bands who performed at the show. We are hoping to play more audio from the PGD show in the coming months here on the Prison Radio Show.
Hi, everybody. We're Claiborne. All of our songs are based on the Martyrs Trilogy by Kim Stanley Robinson, which is for sale on that table over there. It's a new thing that's pretty cool. This show is taking place on occupied Binyangahaka territory. And the first song we're going to do is called This Land, My Body, My Home. And in the book context, it's about Anne watching the outbreak at Malice Chasma, if you've read the books. And if you haven't, or otherwise, more generally, it's about trauma and re-traumatization and experiencing more than you can possibly bear, and then again, and then again. 2 weeks ago, police in Ottawa beat Abdirahman Abdi to death. And I want to express love and solidarity to his family.
This next song is, spoiler alert, about someone in the books whose partner dies, and she's writing about what it's like to relate to your partner becoming a martyr after death and having this impulse of like, but I know this person in a really different way than all these other people who are like martyring them and turning them into a public figure. And I wanted to dedicate this song to three folks I know who've done a ton of time and have died in the last 5 or 6 years. One of them is Patrick. He died on parole a couple years ago. One of them is Moreno, who also died on parole a couple years ago. And one of them is Steve, who died inside two years ago, this coming January. So I wanted to dedicate this one to them.
Thank you.
desperate for something to grasp. Thank you.
gently they go. The beautiful, the tender, the kind. Quietly they go. The intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve. And I am not resigned.
That was audio from the Prisoner Justice Day Punk Show that took place on Sunday, August 7th, here in Montreal. Our next piece is a sneak peek at a longer interview recorded yesterday by the Prison Radio Show with Diana Block. Diana Block has been a radical activist since the 1970s. She was a founding member of San Francisco Women Against Rape, Prairie Fire Organizing Committee, the California Coalition for Women Prisoners, and the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoners. She is the author of the memoir Arm the Spirit, A Woman's Journey Underground and Back, and the novel Clandestine Occupations, An Imaginary History. She lives in San Francisco with her life partner, former political prisoner Claude Marx. And to give some context of what you are about to hear, Diana talked to us about how the California Coalition for Women Prisoners is currently focusing on conditions in California women's prisons that are resulting in people dying from suicide in prison. The California Coalition for Women Prisoners is a grassroots social justice organization with members inside and outside prison that challenges the institutional violence imposed on women, transgender people, and communities of color by the prison industrial complex. More information about them and their current campaign can be found at womenprisoners.org.
So you just talked about how the California Coalition for Women Prisoners has actually been focusing in the last while around issues facing women in prisons in California that has led to a situation that people are calling like a suicide crisis of sorts. And this interview is also taking place on Prisoner Justice Day, August 10th, which is a day, especially in Canada, that folks use to commemorate people who've died inside. And it's especially celebrated by people in prisons up here. It was initiated by folks in prison up here who wanted to commemorate comrades of theirs who had died inside. And traditionally, folks in prison up here refuse to eat, refuse to work, refuse to leave their cells for the day in honor of people that they know who've died. And so, I mean, I'm wondering if there's anyone in particular you'd like to talk a bit about and commemorate on this day, or if you want to just talk more about the California Coalition for Women Prisoners.
Well, I think, I mean, I really think I love the idea of this day. I'm very honored that we're doing this interview, actually speaking with each other on August 10th, this day. And, you know, I think it's so important because death is such a hard and horrible thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard for everyone, for society. But, you know, in prison, it is just really heartbreaking for people inside, for their family members, for the families that people create. And that's something that is really true in women's prisons, that people do create families. And so when someone dies, it is really, really a big deal. And the recent rash of suicides has had an totally terrible impact on so many people. And we did have a recent town hall meeting where the family members of a lot of some of the people who have committed suicide were able to come together, and we were able to both tribute to people who had died and also educate people about what the roots of this so-called epidemic are. Having said that, I feel like I want to give individual tribute to a couple of people. One is Cherise Shumate, who is one of the founding members of the California Coalition for Women Prisoners. She was a Black woman, sickle cell disease, and she was the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit about the treatment that was being given, the lack of treatment that women were getting, and which was truly terrible. I mean, it's terrible now. I think it was even more terrible in 1995 when the lawsuit was started. But Cherise was very, very courageous. She wanted to do the lawsuit not just for herself, but she actually knew that if she was the lead plaintiff, she would be retaliated against. and that it wouldn't really be for her benefit, but that it was very important for all the other people, that the other women and trans prisoners, that that this lawsuit happened. And she was a total leader, and so many people loved her. The lawsuit did advance certain things, but unfortunately, she was retaliated against. And in 2001, she died of complications of sickle cell that were untreated. And that was extremely, extremely painful for many of us who knew Charisse and who and the people who she had worked with and who were her friends and comrades in five were devastated by her loss. So we want to shout out her name. And the other person I want to mention is Marilyn Buck, whom I visited for many years. And Marilyn Buck was a white anti-imperialist who was totally dedicated to solidarity politics. She was first arrested in 1975 for the accusation was that she was had purchased weapons for the Black Liberation Army using a false ID, and so she was imprisoned for that, and she then escaped from prison and lived for many years underground and went on to be part of helping to liberate Assata Shakur, something which when she was alive we were going to talk about, but now that she's no longer with us, we can claim for her that that reality in terms of her her level of support. And Marilyn was scheduled to be paroled in 2000, at the end of 2010, and unfortunately she received a cancer diagnosis shortly before her parole date. They were able, and that was also a diagnosis because the cancer was untreated for a long time, undiagnosed. So she was able to speed up her parole by a week or so, and therefore enjoyed 18 days of freedom, and that was a victory. She was really, really glad that she was able to die outside of the walls, but we all knew that it was the prison system that had killed her in reality. So I do want to mention Marilyn and think of her, and I guess I will also, because mention that so I have recently published a novel called Clandestine Occupations, and one of the stories, the novel as a whole is dedicated to Marilyn Buck and also Jaleel Mustaqim. And one of the stories that is in, or parts of the novel, is really about Marilyn. Even though it's not literally exactly Marilyn, most people who read it recognize her and her story. And it was really important to me to pay that tribute to her and also express so many of the complicated feelings that I had in some way by writing about her.
The time is presently 5:55 p.m., and you've been listening to The Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca. Today has been our Prisoner Justice Day show, Prisoner Justice Day, August 10th, so yesterday, so we've been playing some content related to that. You can check out past episodes of The Prison Radio Show at prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, @prisonradioshow. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT. We're on the air on the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Friday, August 26th at 11 a.m. If you have any questions on anything that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, feel free to contact us at prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can also leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. If you're in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. Feel free to write us at The Prison Radio Show, or simply write PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, postal code H3A2B3. Thanks for tuning in to The Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name's Noah.
And my name is Candace.
And we've been your hosts for today. Please stay tuned.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? Brought to you live.